we have a chance to discuss this before our lunch break. So this is the Judicial Branch Administration Trial Court Business Process Reengineering Services. This is informative, no actions required. Thank you for presenting, Mr. Alan Carlson, Ms. Kim Turner, and Jody Patel. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to present on this subject. We're here today to talk about provide an information report on the Trial Court Business Process Reengineering Services Model, which is a joint effort by the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and the Court Executives Advisory Committee. This is a follow-up to a meeting we had last April, a council meeting where we talked about activities in the trial courts, and the chief asked us to come back, SEAC, to come back with a framework for business process reengineering services, so we're going to talk about that today. So what is business process reengineering? It basically involves the redesign of business practices and systems to achieve improvements in performance and to reduce costs. As applied to trial courts, it identifies business policies and practices, improvements where the activities are no longer necessary or where a more efficient way of doing something can be found, and the idea is to implement changes that would allow us to better address the budget situation and the resource and staffing constraints that we now have. BPR is a long-established private sector management practice. It's been around for more than 20 years as a technique to help organizations fundamentally rethink how they do their work and to dramatically improve customer service and cut operations costs. It's also an approach for redesigning the way work is done to better support our mission and our duties. Some examples I'll use from Orange County, which I know about. In early 2009, we instituted a pretty comprehensive business process reengineering effort in our court. We identified over 100 quick wins in the first few months. Examples of that, we replaced the printing and copying and distribution of a custody list every morning of who was in custody. Instead, now we just send out an email by email, a PDF of the document, saving all the copy time, the jam at the printer, and everybody recycling paper. We also eliminated logging of return mail into our case management system because it doesn't really make any difference. There was no need to keep track of that. On a much larger scale, we introduced the mail processing machine. We call it the magic mail machine that processes the mail that comes in for tickets. It's connected to our case management system, and it's connected to the banks and our bank account. And basically, you put envelopes in one end, and the money appears in our bank account at the other end, and our case management system is updated. The day we turned it on, it reduced the need for four people. And finally, we went to all paperless in our civil cases. We're now paperless from small claims to complex and in all probate and almost there in family law. We reduced the need for 10 people just in processing paper and unlimited civil cases by getting rid of the case files. So the fact sheet that follows the report, it's in green, has some other examples of the nature of improvements that BPR can accomplish. And I'll turn it over to Kim to talk about what we've been doing more recently.
So good morning, Chief and Council members. I don't want to rehash what we talked about last April, but Chief, it has taken us almost a year to take this concept through the vetting process, through the SEAC committee, through the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee, and to come before you today with the informational report that's in your packet. And I want to start by just highlighting that while we're talking about BPR as a strategy today, many courts have already done amazing work in this area. A lot of hard work has been done, especially in light of the fiscal imperatives that face every trial court at this time, and also the evolving way that the public interacts with government and with business in general. So, you know, the use of web-based strategies and electronic strategies, you know, I think many, many things have been done in trial courts across California already. So we're not here to say that this is the new thing that trial courts are going to do, you know, that they've never thought of before. Many courts have been engaged in this process over a long time. What we want to do, though, and what you asked of us last year was to really kind of highlight this strategy and to provide some support to the courts who need assistance in this area. So as chair of SEAC last year, I formed a limited-term working group to help to develop the proposal that's before you today and to create the framework for the Trial Court Business Process Services model. We took that report and format to the meetings that we had earlier this month, the statewide meetings and the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee with Judge Rosen Rosenberg's assistance, and SEAC both approved moving forward and bringing this report to the council. So we are here today to talk about that. We want to make sure that, and we believe that trial court business process reengineering is an initiative that aligns with everything that you are trying to do, Chief, and all of your partners in Sacramento to affect solutions that improve efficiencies in the branch that will help us in our budget conversations with the governor and the legislature, and also to align what we're doing here with all of the legislative priorities of the branch. We want to stress, though, also that business process reengineering is a tool but not a panacea. The courts are still struggling with devastating and difficult budget cuts that will not be resolved by simply implementing business process reengineering. So this is one of the arrows in our quiver, so to speak, in terms of getting through this difficult time, but also to, I think, bring our courts, into a more efficient, more modern, more, sort of responsive practices with the public and with our justice partners. So there are two key components to the proposal before you. The first is to publicize and raise awareness of business process reengineering as one judicial branch strategy to address the permanent reductions in trial court budgets and to minimize the impacts of those budgets, of those budget reductions. So we envision such things as bringing reports to the council regularly on activities that are happening in the trial courts so that you are aware of the amazing work that is being done and has been done in this regard. We want to use the CCN, California Court News updates, and also the court's YouTube site to really highlight some of the really great work that's going on in the courts and to, really champion and celebrate the successes that the courts are having in using these strategies. The second component is really an educational and training component. We're very, very fortunate to have a small but dedicated group in the Northern Central Regional Office that has been doing business process reengineering assistance with courts for a number of years already, but more in a kind of one-on-one. A court will contact NCRO, the team will go out and give them some ideas about how to re-engineer traffic or jury services or whatever it may be. And I know even the AOC has benefited from business process reengineering in the procurement area most recently, I believe. So what we want to do is to actually leverage that good work and make the... sort of sounded like 2001. I thought the monolith was going to come up for a moment. There we go. Okay. So we want to provide educational opportunities to court leaders who have not yet implemented BPR or have only used it in a limited way and want to expand their BPR efforts. So what we're envisioning is regional BPR training for interested courts and do it at AOC offices or at strategic locations across the state so that we can really optimize the number of people that can attend trainings and then take that learning back to their courts to start doing the work. We're looking at train the trainer sessions to build capacity among court analysts and others, especially in larger courts that may be able to offer assistance to smaller courts and to courts that don't have internal resources that can focus on this work. We're looking at having conference calls periodically with the regional office staff that are already trained to do this to make sure that whatever technical assistance is required is provided, and putting BPR on our regional meeting agenda so that we're talking about it, trying to get a little a little buzz about it. And finally, to compile some kind of a central repository for all of the great work that's being done out there to create a library, a sort of an online library of promising practices, of ideas that are working in my court that Alan can use and so forth. So to cross-pollinate these great ideas across the California trial courts. And so that's really the thrust of this proposal today.
So BPR has been and will continue to be one key tool the courts can use to improve our productivity and reduce costs. As Kim indicated, it's not a panacea. We can't get to the point where we do everything with nothing. We have to stop at some point and have a certain number of people to get the work done. But clearly it can make a difference and reduce the impact of the resource cuts that we've had in the last couple of years and help address the budget situation. So we're going to let Jody talk a little bit about the implementation efforts.
Thank you, Ellen. And I think Kim pretty much covered in terms of implementation. We do have a staff of two in the Northern Central Regional Office that have been assisting small and medium courts, particularly with reengineering over the last 4 or 5 years. And so we will leverage those two staff to partner with the SEAC working group to support technical assistance and training to courts that are interested in doing BPR. And staff of two will also be the individuals that will ensure that we have a central repository here at the AOC of all the best practices. So our staff are here just to support SEAC and its working group. They do have the expertise with regard to reengineering. They're, as an example, also assisting me during this transitional period in doing some reengineering here at the AOC as well. And they will support any and all courts that have an interest in this.
I also wanted to make one final point, which is that involvement in the BPR services model is completely voluntary on the part of trial courts. So this is not an AOC mandate or a judicial council mandate. This is not an initiative that's going to be that's going to require every trial court to get involved in this effort. Many courts are well down the road on this and don't need assistance. We don't want to help those courts if they don't need it. There are courts that for whatever reason don't think that this is a strategy that will assist them. And so we want to make sure that we are very clear today that we're focusing on making this a voluntary program only for those courts that are willingly coming to, you know, to learn about these practices and programs and get some analytical tools and templates that will help them to do this work.
I think the other key point is this is teaching people how to fish, not giving them fish. What we're doing is teaching people how to analyze their business processes and operate more efficiently. Not so it's you get it started and it rolls by itself once it's going. So
thank you.
Happy to
Justice
answer
Miller.
Questions.
So you reeled me in with that last comment. I'm sorry. But Justice Rosenberg, I just thought this might be a presentation that you'd want to make at one of your presiding judges' conferences.
We certainly will. We certainly will invite the Mr. Carlson and team to present. I know that the PJs expressed a great amount of support for the program. We're in support of what SEAC is doing.
And I want to say one thing about the genesis of how this became sort of an official kind of focus for the Judicial Council, and I'm grateful to Kim and Alan and Jody for following through with this. And it really started, in my view, when we had a committee that included you, Judge Rosenberg, of PJs and CEOs, including Kim and Alan and others, who talked about what they were doing in and had been doing over the years in their respective courts with meeting the reductions at the same time trying to save jobs and reassign people in the courts. And it was a very helpful exchange of information. It also pointed out our differences in services and cultures in the courts. And from that, Chris Patton did a great job of chronicling that conversation and compiling a list of all the many different ways that courts were being innovative in operationalizing cuts. And so when the talk is whether this is an AOC-driven project or what it should be understood that this really had its genesis in the great discussion we had from all of you about your courts that really brought forward this idea.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you for this. It's an exciting project, and thank you for lending your time to this. I believe there are no further questions or discussions. Thank you. We're trying to be ambitious to get on to our next project before lunch, but I don't think that we can actually get there. So we will, however, are they ready?